Much of the Cape economy is based on tourism. Finding more year-round sustainable industries has been a challenge for decades. In partnership with the Cape Cod Economic Development Council, the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce, and many other organizations, the Cape Cod Commission creates an economic development strategy to identify regional economic goals and projects, all designed to broaden and diversify the Cape's economy. Joining us to talk about some of the projects born out of this process and areas where the Cape is poised to enhance job creation and entice new and diverse businesses is Peter Carlson, founder of New Eon, an entrepreneur in residence at the Cape Cod Chamber. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Winnie.
David Augustino, executive director of the Cape and Island Workforce Investment Board.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Get a long card, extra long card. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mindy.
And Gary Sheehan, CEO of Cape Medical Supply and chair of the Economic Development Pillar at the Cape Cod Chamber. Good morning,
Gary.
Good
morning, Mindy.
All right, before we talk about the business diversification initiatives that you've been working on, let's start with a baseline of where we are today in terms of the types of businesses and jobs on the Cape. David, in December, you published an occupation report for the Cape and the Islands. What are some of the highlights?
Well, some of the highlights are that you know, most of it's intuitive. There aren't any big secrets. Accommodation and food services are the largest employer in the region. And when you put that together with retail, and retail really does fit in with hospitality, the number one activity of tourists in every study that's been done for time immemorial says the first thing they do is shop. That's mm-hmm. That's the number one activity of tourists. So those go together. But then our third largest, and not very far behind that, is healthcare and social assistance with 16,000 jobs. And that's important because healthcare is a relatively high-paying occupation, especially relative to the hospitality industry. And as we go down the list, government is a large employer, over 15,000 people working in government. And anywhere in America where you have small towns and stuff, a small town government will almost always be the largest employer, mm-hmm. school system, police and fire, and things like that. And construction is about 5,000 jobs. And then right behind that is professional scientific and technical services with about 4,700 jobs. So the point is that we have some occupations in technology areas that skew pretty high in our number of jobs that we have in the region.
And one of the things we were talking about before we went on the air is that when we're talking technology jobs, we're not necessarily talking at technology companies.
That's true. I mean, there's definitely a mix of, Gary was mentioning healthcare, tremendous amount of technology jobs. There's still technology jobs across all industries. I mean, I don't care if you're in insurance and in real estate, there's still technology jobs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where we'd like to see, true technology companies, that's never going to be, you know, one of the big, pieces of the pie that David's pointing out, but it can be a healthy piece.
Mm-hmm. So. David, what about overall net loss of jobs? Have we lost jobs? Gained? Where are we in that?
I would say that over the last, I've been in this position for 12 years, and it really, the needle hasn't moved a whole heck of a lot in that time. Mm-hmm. In round numbers, we have about 100,000 jobs. I mean, it'll go 103,000, 105,000, mm-hmm. but it's been around that number. So you can see the importance of like hospitality. Right. It's nice to have round numbers. Hospitality is about 17% of our total jobs, as is retail. You put those two together, you're close to 30%, over 30% of all our jobs and stuff. And healthcare also is a pretty large number.
Right. Gary, Chambers developed a gross regional product measurement for our region. Of course, we know tourism is a large sector of our economy, but healthcare, as we're saying, social services also make up a big piece. Tell us a little bit about that measure.
Yeah, the measure in this effort at the Chamber level to come up with some objective data measurements really came as a result of our strategic planning initiative, which we rolled out about a year ago now. And we divided our work into four separate pillars. The pillar that we're talking about here would be the economic and community development pillar. And as we started to dig into that, we thought these are fairly large initiatives. We're trying to tackle large regional problems. We need some baseline data. So Peter actually was able to mine some data to get us a gross regional product number that's somewhere in the $8.5 billion range, and that's mined from publicly available information. So what we want to do is target things like the employment levels, things like gross regional product as measurements over time. So as we put forward initiatives and things happen that everyone's projecting to see happen in the region, like Open Cape and mm-hmm. other initiatives, we can monitor what that does to the gross regional product level.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say we have to give a big props to David, because David's got the secret source of data. We use a lot of public data from Bureau of Labor Statistics, and then he's a treasure trove of data. So he's very humble about it.
You love gathering the data.
He does.
I live a very boring life, so so data looks like fun to me.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Tell us a little bit the strategic planning meeting or strategy that came out of the chamber about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what, tell us, I mean, what's happening with that?
So the chamber, so we engage in an effort. It was about a year long effort once all was said and done. And we came up with these four pillars, economic and community development, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the public policy pillar, and all those pillars are engaged in work, you know, down through the organization at the board level, at the staff level, to try and continue to advance, whether it's an internal initiative or a community-based initiative. And there's a blend of both in there. Again, I chair the economic and community development pillar, and that work tends to be a little bit longer term. We're trying to move the needle on things that we may not have direct control over. So there's, you know, it was an effort to really formalize the chamber's future planning, and get ourselves in a position to affect key initiatives in the community to help, you know, our members right. succeed, but also help the overall success of the region.
Gotcha. So what are the areas that we're seeing that perhaps would be the biggest sectors for economic growth?
Well, you know, any new venture creation, you know, one of the things in this country we definitely have a trend that's a little alarming. The number of people working in small company in startup companies is declining precipitously
really?
In the last 10 years. Yeah, it's actually it's one of these scary trends that that ends up being a very big driver of jobs. And so when everybody, you know, from politicians to, you know, people around the table say, hey, you know, it's all about jobs. Well, jobs are actually created a lot of times by these small companies. And so if you've got a declining, you know, startup job number, mm-hmm. you've got a big problem. So one of the things that we've done with the chamber is concentrate on high potential startups. And so that's really one of the areas that, you know, we don't see, you know, these giant companies moving to the Cape for a lot of different reasons, you know, just because, you know, it's not conducive to, you know, large footprint development, things like that. So why not start small and start lots of small? And that's good, because if we look at high potential entrepreneurs, and those are defined by people that, you know, have a track record, know how to scale companies, have a great idea that can scale. Mm-hmm. So that's actually where we actually start the conversation. That's one of the main things that, you know, in this economic development right. pillar is a piece of that.
And I mean, for us here, isn't most of our business on the Cape and the islands, for that matter, small business? I mean, that's pretty much what we are.
Yeah, it's a huge number.
Right?
But
about 94%
yeah.
of the businesses yeah. are 20 or fewer. But you have to watch out when you're talking about national numbers, too, because the Small Business Administration definition of a small business is 500 employees.
Oh,
right,
wow.
right.
So
right.
when they're talking about small businesses not doing as many startups and stuff, that's what they're talking about. But the other thing that I like to say is that if you look at the companies that have grown over the last 5 or 6 years, a lot of them are technology companies. If you look at Convention Data Services, Back Office Associates, Onset Computer, Hydroid, Teledyne Benthos, those are all very strong companies that are in the technology sector. Convention Data Services is a service industry, but their entire operation is based on technology. Mm-hmm. They provide back office activity for large conventions and stuff. So when you look at our growth, it has been in large part, a large part of it has been in technology companies. And I think that that's something that we can continue to concentrate on, especially with the introduction of Open Cape.
Right. Because they're, you know, what I said before about footprint, you know, they're easy to start mm-hmm. Or easier to start. No business is easy to start, and I would never say that, but they're a little easier than, you know, starting an aeronautics company or, you know, something.
Well, didn't Benthos, weren't they in a garage in the beginning or something?
I think
like
most
that?
Of these companies were in
Absolutely.
Garages, actually. Yeah, so the traditional garage does work.
We're talking about diversifying the business economy. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to join our conversation, is 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. You touched on the entrepreneurial stuff, Peter, so let's go right to that. One of the new initiatives that you've been working on, the Entrepreneurial Resource System Partnership.
Yeah,
tell us what that is.
I actually led into that by talking about high-potential entrepreneurs. So actually, you know, folks like the Workforce Investment Board, CDP, the college. I'm going to leave somebody out, and they're going to be irked about that. So let me think about who else is around the table. SCORE, and I'll think of somebody else.
And
that
there's
I've missed.
More.
And there are more. So I apologize in advance for the resource partners are a tremendous sense of the network that we've achieved here within the entrepreneurial resource system is around collaboration. So right. All of these agencies and all these groups that come in, they tend to have they're bringing in entrepreneurs for different reasons. So when somebody comes to visit Score Cape Cod and they have a technology business, they may, you know, come to the table and say, hey, you know, we've got this guy that's trying to start this technology company. Why don't you, you know, talk to them? Small Business Development Center, SBDC, is the other key company that or key organization that I'd like to mention there too. All of us work together on a monthly basis. We kind of make sure that we're all in check. Coastal Community Capital is the other one that I know that I can't leave out, the sister company of the Cape Cod Chamber. And the idea is in the ERS, what we're trying to do is look for these high potential companies or individuals and give them everything they need. So essentially give them all the nutrients to grow. So we put them into a tracking system. We have recruited 30 to 40 resource providers. So these are accountants, attorneys, salespeople, marketing people, technologists. And we give them we've asked them to do some pro bono work for us. And so each one of those providers gives us, 10 hours a month. And when these high potential entrepreneurs come in, we assign them specific activities. So if it's to flesh out their business plan, or it's build a demo of their product, or come up with a marketing plan that makes sense for their product, we would give them a resource provider to say, hey, go help that person do that. Come back, report back to us.
What a great opportunity.
Oh, it's tremendous. Yeah. I mean, it's basically hundreds and hundreds of hours of free labor.
Did this grow out of the Entrepreneur's Weekend, this idea?
Kind of. I think it would probably be an offshoot of that. I think it also came because there was a lot of things falling between the cracks between these different agencies. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that we could kind of cherry pick the ones that we knew that were going to be high potential and pull them up out of the normal ooze that has, the deal with startups and say, you know what, we can give them a little bit more.
David's having problems with his microphone over there.
Yeah, I want to jump into it. It also, part of the SEDS process, which the county did lead,
right,
did identify entrepreneurism as a potential source of growth for the region. And it does fit our profile very well. Small, one or two people starting up a business that is probably going to start out as hiring a few people and then have growth opportunity after that.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. It is an evolution, right? So if you start one person or one or two people in a garage, they start their company, they hire more people. Those people, they also hire service providers.
Right.
So that's the other thing about the ERS is those service providers that are donating their time, eventually they'll get paid. Mm-hmm. When that company grows up and is able to write checks, great. Mm-hmm. That's the way the system's supposed to work, because those service providers, they've got to buy groceries and gas and everything else.
Exactly.
Around here. And when that company hopefully has a liquidity event in the future, those dollars get plowed back into more local startups.
Right. So, and one of the challenges, or there's several challenges, I guess, when you want to bring new business and industry, some easier to address than others. There's the challenge of the process, I guess, with the Cape-wide access to broadband and internet. That's been an issue for us. But now we have Open Cape,
right,
coming, which really increases our capacity for a lot of things, correct?
It opens a door to all kinds of big data services, software companies that have to manipulate data, or service companies that have to manipulate large chunks of data. Also, from the creative economy standpoint, audio and video, pushing things around,
right,
those are big files. And, architecture firms, design firms, all those companies that need to push lots of data around, they can do it way more efficiently now.
Yeah. One of the other issues we have, of course, is an aging workforce, and then this mass exodus of young adults. And Gary, I want to ask you about the young adults, because I know you were you're involved with the Young Professionals Organization there. And that's great. I mean, it was great that started and kind of identified who some of these young professionals are and trying to keep them. So what are we doing besides that, to try to keep young people here?
Yeah, I think, the whole technology, the technology initiatives that are taking place in the region are really unique and important. I think what we're doing is technology is enabling business startups to take place where entrepreneurs want to start them. So Cape Cod being a wonderful place, and you'll hear more about this over the next few months, to live, work, play, and create. And the chamber is going to come out with an initiative around that, Live, Work, Play, Create, a website that talks a lot more about the strength, the quality of the education that we have here on Cape Cod, the quality of the healthcare system on Cape Cod, the quality of the government services in the region. And our hope is to continue to attract a population that wants to call Cape Cod home. And some of the technology initiatives that are being put in place are going to allow people who have a choice about where to work and how to work. And you know, telecommuting is increasingly important for a lot of different industries. So that will be key in enabling younger professionals to call the region home. And, you know, all of us around the table have unique things of why we love Cape Cod and why we've chosen to call it home. And what we want to do is capitalize on the strengths of the region. We want to talk to some of the myths about Cape Cod. There's a lot of things about Cape Cod that have just been repeated over time, and all of a sudden everyone just sort of accepts them as fact. If you looked at median home price on Cape Cod versus suburban Boston, there's a big advantage. So what we want to do is hang the sign out there and say Cape Cod is a wonderful place to live, work, play, and create. To use an old chamber initiative, a wonderful way of life on Cape Cod, and start to highlight some of the success stories that have happened over time. I think the Cape Cod Young Professionals is a wonderful example. Yeah. I was fortunate to be involved in starting that.
Were there like 600 members or so, something like that?
I don't know exactly where they are today, but I know it's incredibly vibrant. They're giving out scholarships on an annual basis for local students. You've seen just some wonderful success stories. We were talking about someone yesterday, and I won't name him by name because I don't have permission, but he, through the Young Professionals, has met his wife, got a job, met his mortgage provider. So they're filling a network for young people that's adding a lot of strength and vibrancy to the region. So it's been really neat to see.
And when we look at the aging workforce, especially when we look at our retired population, the experience, I mean, it's amazing.
I was
going to
say, that's not a bad thing.
That's a
great
good thing,
because those early stage companies, what do they need most? Advice. Mm-hmm. They need sage advice from people that have been there, done that. So, you know, we love the fact that we've got experienced professionals that can lend that advice. SCORE does a great job of actually corralling those people into providing those mentoring services. You know, we use some of them. Some of them are also investors in these early stage companies. That's another key characteristic and population we're trying to tap into is. And the Bay Angels, which is an angel investing group down here, they did a great job of pulling those people out of the woodwork to say, you know what, invest in your local community.
Right.
There's a smart young team of people over here that want to, you know, build a company out here. You know, get them started.
And if it's a wise business investment, why would you say no, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, angel investing is always risky, and it's not something that, you know, everybody can do. But if you can do it and be involved, that's a wonderful thing.
Some of the other issues we have, of course, are infrastructure issues, like, you know, that we aren't going to get, as we say, these big, large businesses because we just don't have the space.
Right.
We've got the wastewater management issue, transportation, housing. So we are really better poised to attract small businesses. And we know that, right? So that's what we're going after.
And to build our own and to capitalize on the businesses that are here. You know, economic development 101 tells you, looking for growth, you go to your existing businesses first. That's where you're going to find growth. And certainly that's what we've seen in the companies that I had mentioned before, those technology companies that I mentioned, and in these smaller companies, the ones that have already started up in the last 4 or 5 years that may have 2 or 3 employees might be poised to add 2 or 3 more employees. And, you know, that's one of the ways to grow. And I want to make sure that we don't overlook the existing businesses as a rich source for growth.
You know, you get these small companies, 1-2 people, and all of a sudden they add a third person. That's a huge percentage, you know, of increase. And that one job, you know, on average, if you added one job to all these, what we call kind of the micro businesses, you know, because the SBA definition is of small businesses a little larger than we're used to. You know, so, you know, in their definition, we're all micro businesses out here. And, you know, so that one person can make a huge difference.
David, what about a skills gap? Do we have a skills gap now?
You know, there's a lot of back and forth around these issues. Some of them have to do with a big discussion about whether we're having cyclical changes in our economy or structural changes in our economy. That's a pretty high-level conversation that we don't have time to cover today. In some places, we do. I think it's, you know, if you looked at central Massachusetts, there are, right now there are jobs for in manufacturing, in machine shops that are going begging. because we've told all our children for the last 30 years, don't go into manufacturing. It's a bad thing.
Right.
Well, it turns out that if you went to Central Mass and you could run a lathe, you'd be making $40 an hour today. So I think it's situational somewhat. And if I looked here on the Cape, we do have some gaps. I don't know if it's a skill gap, but there are some positions, especially higher order positions, positions that require advanced degrees, positions that require a lot of experience in business. For instance, some of the banks have trouble hiring higher level managers. Some of the technology companies that we mentioned have trouble finding software engineers and those kind of occupations. And unfortunately, that's not something that we can design a quick training program to obviate.
No.
So I think part of it is to keep working, like what Gary was talking about, you know, the ability for us to sell the Cape as someplace to live, work, play, and create can attract that kind of talent. Mm. And that's what we need to do. Rather than try to attract big businesses or something,
we need to attract
some of the talent to help to fill the pipeline for some of our companies.
And one thing, you know, in a means to that end is making it attractive and telling people that are on the other side of the bridge that a commute from anywhere south of, on Route 3 coming down here, anywhere from 495, 124, 195, and 495, those are great commutes, reverse commutes.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time to get here. And once you're here, it's pretty much easy on, easy off. So we can cast a wider net for those skills if we need to. I think, you know, we focus a little bit too much on, you know, keeping everything, you know, kind of, right here on the Cape, but we should cast a wider net when we're looking for jobs.
Right. Let's talk a little bit. Since we're looking about jobs, David, you've got something coming up called Get a Job Week.
Get a Job Week. Absolutely. Our Career Center, which is Career Opportunities, located in Hyannis in March 18th through March 21st, that's Monday through Thursday, is running Get a Job Week. And they're going to do job fairs in specific areas. On Monday, they're doing the trades. On Tuesday, they're doing human services and home health care. Wednesday is the financial industry. And Thursday is hospitality and tourism. If people go to the website, which is capejobs.com. They would be able to sign up to do interviews before the job fair starts, speed interviews, like speed dating for job hiring. And there's also a listing of the types of jobs that are available so people could be
well-informed. We'll have links to all the websites on our page, too, if folks want to just go to capeandislands.org. We have a startup weekend.
Right.
Tell us what that is.
First ever on Cape Cod.
First ever.
Yeah. And actually, it inspired. Startup weekend was the precipitating event that actually made Gary call me 5 years ago and say, hey, we should do something like this on Cape Cod. And then, you know, I got to, you know, we conferenced in Wendy Northcross. And then we started Entrepreneurs Weekend because we didn't think that the Cape was ready for a startup weekend because it's very technically focused. And so we created our own for 4 years, building a weekend-long business plan competition.
Which is an amazing thing.
It is an amazing thing. And we love our Entrepreneurs Weekend. But we saw an opportunity now with the launching of Open Cape to look a little bit wider and say, you know what, let's try this. Let's, you know, like every entrepreneurial effort, you know, you try, you test it, you adapt it, and you try it again. And so we're trying a startup weekend this March. It's capecod.startupweekend.org. And the whole purpose of it is to create viable or test the viability of businesses. So that means coming out with something at the end of the weekend that you can actually show people.
So it's sort of like the Entrepreneurs Weekend.
It is.
And you bring up an idea.
You bring an idea and then you create something at the end of the weekend.
Gotcha.
So it's not just a business plan, but it could be creating a piece of this product that you're an online product or an app or whatever it is. So we're looking for designers, developers, and idea people to come out for a 54-hour bonanza of entrepreneurship over here in the Mass Maritime Academy.
Okay. And then we've got State of the Cape, Gary. That's what, March 15th? Tell us what that is.
Yeah. So that's an event that's put on by the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce. And we're going to sort of review from our perspective, from the community, the business community's perspective, go over some of the high-level issues that the region faces, review our work amongst and within the four pillars, focus clearly on economic and community development, CVB, and public policy, not as much on the member services, which which is the fourth pillar there. And we'll go through the strategic plan, kind of where we are. And we'll talk a lot about the big picture issues, the wastewater mm-hmm. issue, the challenge with the aging bridges and sort of general infrastructure. And it's a good – I think there'll be a lot of the public officials in the room, and it's a good opportunity to have dialogue about the challenges the region faces, the opportunities that the chamber sees for improvement over the next 5 years, and where we sort of see things heading from here.
You know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking it's a great idea to have all the business involved in you know, when we look at the wastewater issue, it's such a huge issue. We've done many shows on that, and we know that this is going to be costly, but having everybody at the table and kind of discussing the options and, you know, having that support to get the word out there is really an important piece of all that.
Yeah, I think traditionally there's been a concept that the business community is not sort of being involved in the business community. I think this is a huge misnomer that oftentimes the business community, environmental community end up at loggerheads, and there's a general thought that the business community is not concerned about the environment. I think clearly on Cape Cod, the business community recognizes the strength and a criticality of the environment to everyone's success.
Right.
So without, you know, solid water infrastructure, without our beaches, the Cape Cod
Nobody's
ceases to be
here.
Cape
yeah,
Cod.
Right.
So the business community clearly recognizes the criticality of that issue and is really galvanized. We put together a great team to look at that, and they're doing some really interesting work on the wastewater, and we'll talk a lot more about that at the State of the Cape.
The business community, they know how to raise the money, right? So they might have some ideas.
There's a lot of money out there to solve this problem, but also it's an opportunity. If there are startups that are looking to solve, you know, certain things, certain aspects of the wastewater piece, there's room for improvement there. And, you know, I think that one of the things that is very inspiring is, you know, what Paul Nitzwicki would say is, you know, there's way more solutions to this. I mean, there's so many different solutions,
right.
and it's the hybrid, you know, the hybrid nature of solving that problem. So, you know, there could be entrepreneurial efforts that come out of the woodwork you don't know about.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is cross-cutting, too. The Workforce Investment Board, we're having Paul Nitzwicki come to speak to our board of directors because we see the impact on jobs. I mean, if we can't have a healthy infrastructure, you can't grow jobs.
Right.
Exactly. Peter Carlson, founder of New Eon, an entrepreneur in residence at the Cape Cod Chamber. David Agostino's executive director of the Cape and Islands Workforce Investment Board. And Gary Sheehan, a CEO of Cape Medical Supply and chair of the Economic Development Pillar at the Cape Cod Chamber. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks,
Mindy,
for having us.
And we'll have links to all their websites on our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point airs weekdays at 9:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. We're also on Facebook at The Point, WCAI. Amy Vince produces The Point. Mindy Todd is executive producer. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.